We're going to be over in John, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 1. John 18, beginning with verse 1. I ask you here this morning, when you came to church this morning, who or what were you looking for? Can you answer me that? When you got out of your warm bed this morning, and you got ready to come to the house of God this morning, who or what were you coming here to look for? And that's the question I want to ask you this morning. Let us read the scripture, then we'll have a word of prayer. We're going to read down about the 12th verse, John 18, 1 through 12. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook called Cedron, where was a garden unto the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-time resorted thither with his disciples. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of, Them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Let us pray. Father, if we come, Lord, this morning, I come again, Lord, with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart. I want to praise you this morning, Lord, for without you I can do nothing. Lord, I want to give you the glory. I want to give you all. Father, Father, I praise you this morning for those that are here this morning, Lord. I ask you, Father, to be with their hearts, Lord. I pray that you would open their hearts up, open their minds up, Lord. I pray that, Father, the Spirit would be amongst them working this morning, Lord. And, Father, that your will would be done. And, Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it all. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Again, I ask you something. Whenever you come here this morning, you know, there's some that go to church. And you know what? They may go looking for a family member. You know, they may go looking to see if their family member made it to church. Or maybe there's some that come here looking for a friend or a neighbor. Or for the preacher, for the church leadership. I don't know. There's some that do that. They come. That's one of the reasons, some of the reasons why people come to church. Maybe you come looking for peace or for answers for something that's facing right now in your life. Maybe you're looking for that. I don't know. Maybe that's what you come to church for. Maybe you just come just to be around others, you know, like have the fellowship. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you come here for that this morning. You may have just come out here out of curiosity to see what's going on. See, maybe if we got the trees cut down. See, maybe the church is any farther along. You know, maybe that's the reason you come to church this morning. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Or to talk to others, to find out what's going on in their neck of the woods. Or just maybe you were forced to come by your mom or dad to come to church this morning. Or you just come here, you know, because for years, that's what you've done. Maybe for years, that is just exactly what you've done. That's the reason why that you come to church. Whatever may be the case, whatever may be the reason for you coming to church here this morning, you know, that brings you back here. That's why I titled the sermon the way I did. Who are you looking for? What brought you to God's house this morning? You know, are you looking for Jesus of Nazareth? Are you looking for him? Or are you looking for Jesus Christ? Jesus, the Savior, the Son of the living God. Is that who you're looking for this morning? I hope you are. I hope you're not looking for Jesus of Nazareth like these people were. I hope you're looking for Jesus, the Son of God. But preacher, aren't they the same? Yes, in human eyes, to us, they may look the same. But I'm here to tell you, there is a difference. There is a difference in whether or not you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth or whether you're looking for Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. There is a difference, is there not? But folks, there's a big difference, and I want you to understand that. There's a big, big difference. You see, this mob came looking for Jesus. They came looking for Jesus, and the Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what they said? And they answered Jesus. For you see, they weren't looking for the Son of God. They were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. They were looking for Jesus, the rebel rouser, in their own minds. They were looking for a different Jesus than what I hope you come here this morning looking for. I hope that you came looking for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what? They were looking for the Jesus, the Son of Mary and Joseph. They weren't looking for God's only Son. That's who they came looking for. Even one of the 12. We talked about this, Judas, who loved them. You know what? He didn't truly understand. He didn't truly come looking for the true Jesus. You know what? He thought that if he forced Jesus' hand, that he would force Jesus into an uprising, and Jesus would become what he thought would be the king of the Jews, and to set up an earthly kingdom. But I'm here to tell you, that's not the Jesus that you and I should be coming here to look for this morning. Amen? You see, they came searching for the wrong Jesus. And I hope and pray this morning that when you got up out of that bed this morning, that warm bed, and got ready to come out in the cold this morning, I hope and pray you come out here searching for the true Jesus. That's what I hope you come out here looking for. And you know what? Even Pilate, when questioning Jesus, he was looking for the wrong Jesus. If you look at 18:33 and through 37, and I'll just go ahead and read it. And it says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Pilate answered, I am a Jew, thine own nation, and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered and said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate didn't even understand. He was even looking for the wrong Jesus. My point this morning is, when we come searching for Jesus, make sure we are searching for the right Jesus. Make sure that we are searching for Him. I hope and pray that you made your way out here this morning, that you come into this church building this morning. I pray that you come searching for Him, searching for the right one. I tell you what, there's too many out there. There's too many out there that come searching for the wrong Jesus and for the wrong reasons. Jesus Christ wants a relationship with you. Do you believe that? A relationship with God's only Son. That's what He wants. Jesus wants a relationship with you that is one-on-one. Do we understand that this morning? How much do we comprehend how much Jesus loves us, that He wants a relationship with just you and with just me, one-on-one? Do we even comprehend that? Can we even grasp that? You know what? Revelation 3:20 tells me this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Folks, this is a 365-day-a-year. This is 24 hours a day. This is 7 days a week. He wants a relationship with you. I could point my finger at everybody in here. A whole lot of relationships we have down here are not that way. Will you agree with me on that? I don't care if you have a good relationship with whoever it may be. It still does not comprehend. It still will not stack up with the relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ if we search and we truly try to find the true Jesus Christ in our lives. Even those we consider great. You know what? And it's a two-way street also. May I say that to you also? It's a two-way street. Jesus Christ will do His part, and He wants you to do your part. You know, getting a good relationship requires that both of you do your part. Will you agree with me on that? I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're, what marital relationship you're in, whether you've got a good friend. It takes both of you. As they used to say, it takes two to tango, right? Too many treat it like a magic potion. They treat Jesus like that. They treat him like Tylenol or Advil. And you know what I mean by that? You know what? When the pain and heartache is gone, then they want to put him back up on the shelf. They want to put him back in the cupboard. And they don't want to bring him out again until it's time that pain and all that stuff comes back again. That's not the kind of relationship Jesus wants. Jesus Christ wants to be able relationship with you that whenever it's through the good times and through the bad times, He wants you to be there with Him, and then He wants to be with you. Amen? I found that. Jesus wants a relationship in the good and the bad times. He wants that with us. He wants that with you. He wants that with me. I hope the Jesus you know is that kind of Jesus this morning. I hope that is the truth. You see, there's a difference in knowing the Jesus of Nazareth and knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen? There is a difference. There's a lot of people that claim to know Jesus. There's a lot of people that claim to say, that claim Jesus. But I want you to know something. There's a difference in knowing Him as your personal Savior. I'll preach it. I'll keep on teaching. We have got to know Him personally. We've got to know that the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. We've got to feel it. There's got to be a feeling to this. I'll tell you what, when we come to know Jesus, I believe in my heart with all that there is, you'll know that Jesus saved your soul. Amen? There's not going to be no doubt. You will know the true Jesus. You won't have to guess. You won't have to ask. I want to tell you something, folks. There's power in knowing the right Jesus. You know that? There's power in it. Jesus said unto them, I am He. Whenever they come and ask it, those three little words has power, has significant power in it. You know what? If you look at verse 6, let's look at verse 6 over there, 18:6 again. Whenever it said this, it said, and as soon as He had said unto them, I am He, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Amen. I want to tell you something. You're not going to meet God. You're not going to meet Jesus without it changing you.
Right. Amen.
You may end up falling to your knees. You may end up doing a lot of things, but I'm telling you, you will not be the same when Jesus Christ comes into your heart.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You're not going to be that way. And it said, I am He. I am. Listen, you've heard that before, haven't you not? Who is I am? Whenever they were talking back in the Bible, when Moses said, who do I tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them I am sent you. Little did those people know, when they went to the Garden of Gethsemane to get this guy that they thought was a carpenter, that whenever they asked for Jesus of Nazareth, they got more than what they bargained for. They got God Himself in the flesh. Amen? They got the Son of God. They got Him. And whenever He said, I am He, they had no choice but to fall down. Because they weren't good. It was by His own will that they had any way of grabbing Him. Any way of getting Him. I'll tell you what. He went His own will. And He proved it to them right then. You were going to take me unless God allowed it to happen. There's one verse of Scripture that said, do you not know that I could have called what one of the six legions of angels or something like that? Do you know how many angels that is? That's 72,000 angels. 72,000. And it said, or more. How many would it have took to do the job? It would have took exactly one.
Amen.
At His disposal. But you know what? He willingly went to the cross. That you, sitting here today, those that you know could have the opportunity to get to heaven one of these days. Amen? Praise God this morning. That's the kind of God that we serve. You know what? You know, that's the Jesus that we serve. You come here this morning looking for that kind of Jesus this morning. And I want to tell you something else too. This scripture showed me. Verse 12 speaks to me. And it says, John 18:12, it says, then the band and the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound Him. They bound Him. And I told you, I said a little bit ago, they took Him, bound Him. But you know what? They didn't bound Him. You know, He went willingly. But I'm here to tell you something this morning. I'm here to tell you, do not bind Jesus' hands this morning. Don't do that. What are you saying, preacher? Can we bind you? Yes, we can bind his hands, because I'm going to tell you something. My Bible tells me that, you know what? Whenever Jesus Christ, whenever we go to him in prayer, you know what? If we put it all to him and we say, Lord, if we believe and faith believing, then you know what? Our prayers could be answered. And too many times while our prayers aren't answered, not all the time, but too many times with our prayer, it's because we do not believe that Jesus can do what he said he can do. Amen. Listen, I know there's a will. I know God has a will. You've heard me preach enough to know that. I know that God has a will. But I'm here to tell you, too many times when we go to prayer, when we get up out of that prayer, we don't believe it's going to happen. That's why we don't see our prayers answered sometimes. That's why things happen and sometimes we can't, because we bound the hands of Jesus. You don't think it can happen? What did he say about his own homeland? He said, well, I do not many mighty works here. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. I'm here to tell you today, yes, God's will has to be done in our life. And when we pray, we should praise God's will. But I'm telling you, when you get up out of there and you ask for something, do not bind his hands. Believe in faith believing. Believe with all that you have that God can change. Listen to me. You may be sitting back here this morning. And you know what? Maybe you do not know Jesus as your Savior. I'm telling you right now, don't bind his hands. He said his hands are not short. He said that he cannot save. He still hears. I want to tell you something this morning. He wants to save you. Don't bound his hands because he's not short. He can save you this morning. But you've got to have the faith to believe that he can change your life. Do you believe? Do you believe that this morning? I'm not the type of preacher to preach, name it, and claim it. I never have been. But I believe that God's still in the healing business. I believe God's still in the saving business. I believe God can still do what His Word says He can do. But too many times, we bound His hands and we don't let Him walk because the moment that we pray, we don't believe it the moment we say it. The Bible tells me over in James, he said, let that man not think that anything's going to be able to be done for them. James, I think, 1:6-7, I believe, what's that? But I'm here to tell you right now, don't bound Jesus. Don't do it. Because he can make a work and he can do the work. Yes, I know God's all omnipotent. I know he's omnipresent. I know all that. But you believe that we can still bound him because if our unbelief bounds him sometimes for doing the work that he wants to do in our lives. I'll tell you what, I know this. I'm done. Say, come get a song. I'm done this morning. But I'm here to tell you, folks, what Jesus did you come here looking for this morning? What Jesus did you come here looking for this morning? Who did you come seeking? I hope you didn't come just to hear me. I hope you came to be a part and to search and to worship and praise the one that needs it and the one that deserves it this morning. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. As they get a song, please stand. If you have a need this morning, please come up here this morning.